Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 81. This is Kevin DeFrango. To my right is Ken Phillips. How are you doing, sir?
I'm real good, Kevin. And I think that's good. That's helpful for the listener to get kind of a spatial feel for the the setup here and the environment we're in. Kind of like feel like you're here in the room with us. I'm Kevin's right-hand man tonight. As I am most nights.
You just want camera view at this point. I mean, that's what we need to go to next.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to get ready for my close-up if that's the case.
We can YouTube it.
Let's not Facebook it live, though, Kevin.
No Facebook live. Well, as Jeremy isn't giving us a post-game speech, we'll be
right.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, I'm at this point thinking that Facebook Live has a bit of a PR problem, you know. When has there ever been a good news story involving Facebook Live?
There have not been a lot of good news stories about Facebook Live.
Maybe that Star Wars Chewbacca mom? I don't know if you saw that one.
No.
People like that, apparently.
No, did not see that one.
It was a woman who was super excited to get a Chewbacca mask that when you opened your mouth, it made like the Chewbacca noises. Yeah. And so she was like talking about it and then put it on and was making the sound and laughing hysterically. And I guess, you know, it was kind of just sort of people could say that it was good without shitting on it too much, I guess. So, it was pretty popular, but since then,
right,
it's been all downhill. People like taping their kids to walls. I saw that the other day.
Oh,
people like getting tortured. It's not good, Kevin. Facebook, they don't have any of that in their ads on TV, but, it seems like that's what you hear about. That's what the free media message is for Facebook. And of course, as we refer to,
just like everything else, the good news is always buried because you just get the bad news because it's more fun to complain about.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think the Steelers incident, the leak in their locker room from Facebook Live? Do you think that was good news or bad news? I kind of like whatever.
Like it's been made no news by both teams. Like, the Patriots haven't really said anything.
Well, Tom Brady said something like, well, that's not how our organization is run.
Oh, no, it's Julian Edelman.
That's how they run things. Yeah. Well, no, I'm pretty sure Brady said something. He didn't maybe come out quite as,
as strongly.
As, what am I saying? Brashly or harshly as Edelman did, but
gotcha.
He made some sort of comment, and I don't really need any more of a reason to hate Tom Brady. So I mean, he's a great quarterback, but I don't know.
It's because you envy him, Ken.
I guess so. Yeah. If he was the Steelers quarterback, I'm sure I would not hate him.
Yeah, that is true, but. You know, that was still the craziest thing, and I was talking to Jeremy about that. I can't believe that this is the first time since Roethlisberger's rookie season that it's been Steelers-Patriots in the playoffs.
Is that what it was? I can remember the one year.
It's been 12 years in between.
They played in Pittsburgh the one year, and I remember it was when Jerome Bettis was there, but I think that was before they won their Super Bowl. With Jerome Bettis.
Correct.
So that must have been.
I think it was Tommy Maddox.
Okay. Yeah, that was a frustrating game. So I'm hoping to get some payback for that AFC Championship game.
That was post XFL stint by Tommy Maddox.
Oh. That's never good. When your quarterback is from a league that's no longer in existence. Although Maddox did do pretty well for him.
He had a couple of good years. He got banged up a little bit too much there at the end, I think, and it caused a decline in his play.
He was no Ben Roethlisberger, though, shall we say.
Well, he was not a big guy, so he definitely couldn't take the beating quite as well.
No, he wasn't suitable to take a car hood on with his face the way that Ben Roethlisberger was, and various other physical punishments he's been through.
Yes, the worst is still self-inflicted.
Yes. There was no helmet for that one, if you recall.
Yeah.
Craziness.
The good old days.
Well, you know, there seems like there's a lot of craziness in the world these days, Kevin.
Oh, not just in the NFL?
No.
In the National Football League?
Thank you for not abbreviating that. Yes. Not just there, Kevin. So, there's a market out there for people who want to get away from all this craziness.
Yeah. And, it's coming to a city near us. So it is, certainly in the O of OPA.
Yes.
And it's the, second such, community. It's a survivalist community. And, they're doing one, north of, northeast of Dallas is the first one.
Correct.
And, the second one is going to be in Jackson County here.
Right. Which I looked it up on the map. And if you imagine a triangle between, Columbus, Cincinnati, and this Jackson, Jackson would be like the right angle of a right triangle. So it's basically
Yeah.
Right there. They're almost directly south from Columbus. And kind of in the middle of nowhere, it looks to be.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole lot of nothing down there.
Now, I think they described this as a survivalist community, and I don't think that quite gets at what this place is.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't... You're kind of catering to... I don't know, an interesting group of people with this. Because they did say that it's by invitation only.
Oh, man. I might have missed that part.
Where was that?
Five-star playground.
Yeah. Oh, and of course that part's like at the end of the article, so I'm pulling something.
Yeah, so it's not like, I don't know, like for doomsday preppers necessarily, like the people who are like having their go bag ready and, you know, having rations stocked away in their floorboards or whatever. It's more like an armed compound that could potentially survive the end of the world.
Yeah, and they have all kinds of, like, I mean, they did call it a resort also.
Yeah, I saw it said five-star playground.
Because,
So it is basically, like, some kind of, one-percenter, survival shelter is kind of what I'm getting at from this.
That's kind of the interesting thing, though. Like, I'm not sure you can get all one-percenters if... Because their plan is also to have, like, enough people to be self-sustaining from the inside. So you kind of need some people from different professions.
Oh, so it couldn't all be Hollywood actors or something like that?
Right.
Or say, yeah, stockbrokers. They wouldn't necessarily be able to make do in the new
Yeah, because, well, they might take some of them. Oh, yeah, and I scroll right past it. The first phase of condominiums would only be available by invitation only. Subsequent phases would be available to all with the goal of attracting residents with diverse skills who can help sustain the community during an emergency.
Diverse skills.
So, I mean...
Is that like Liam Neeson? Oh, no, he had a very particular set of skills. That's right. But it could be somebody like that, I suppose. Or a doctor, maybe, I could see.
Well, yeah, I guess what my point was, though, is that you can't just cater to the one percenters. I would think that there would just still be some job types that you would need that would not be one percenter approved.
Like ditch digging or?
Well, just even an electrician. Like, is there like a world famous electrician that's so good at electricity healing? Like, I mean, I'm sure that there are some very good companies out there.
Well, I'm sure there's people who have made a lot of money being electricians or have, like, their, you know, contractors with people working for them.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, like, I don't feel like you hear that. Like, there's not a World Series of Carpenters on CMT or something like that.
There might be, though. Did you, are we sure there's not?
No, I guess I could check.
World Series of Carpenters. Yeah, do a quick Google search for that. I'm not really that familiar. That's why I ask. I'm not that familiar with CMT and what they have there.
No, there's a lot of stuff about Matt Carpenter
playing baseball in the World Series, apparently. Yeah. So that's the World Series of Carpenters as far as Google is concerned. No, I know they have like lumberjack competitions though. I'm sure there's some type of competition for carpenters, but
carpenters competition.
Yeah, sure enough, there's a YouTube video.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. The Institute of Carpenters holds that competition. That's interesting.
Yeah, good for them.
A noble profession.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that... woo! Well, I can't do that.
Oh.
But, yeah, that works. So, yeah, we are watching some quick carpenters here.
So this we could be looking right now, Kevin, at a future resident of this survivalist resort slash end of the world shelter, doomsday shelter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just, like, it sounds large enough where you could just live there, because we didn't talk about some of the amenities yet, which include a golf course, horse facilities, sand beach lakes, jogging trails, polo fields, gun ranges, a spa, and zip lines.
Yes, the guy, the CEO is quoted as saying, "We're not just a hole in the ground to hide in." And, yeah, from that sound, I'd say no. They're not just a hole in the ground to hide in. But it is an interesting thing that he's kind of saying that, you know, it is very much like a hole in the ground to hide in, but it's not just a hole in the ground to hide in.
Yeah, it's a fancy hole in the ground.
Yes, this is a nice hole.
It's going to be a nice hole with 12-foot walls and watchtowers.
Watchtowers, yes, that's nice.
So we can hear a little Bob Dylan or a little bit of cover of Bob Dylan.
That would be nice. Yeah, probably a cover.
A little Jimi Hendrix version.
Yeah, that's a good one. There could be a joker and a thief perhaps coming along towards the said compound. Outside in the cold distance, a bobcat may growl for all we know. But it sounds pretty creepy to me. It's something about this place doesn't sit with me very well, and I think it is just like some of the other things they said was like it would be the cost of an affluent second or vacation home. So to me, that's like somebody who has so much money that they're just gonna like have this as like an insurance policy. Because the other thing is, it has its like its own like electric grid, right? Its own water.
Yeah, it is self-sustaining. I would imagine they would have to have some type of rain catchment system and, you know, another filter for water to help conserve as much as you can. I would imagine that there would be, you know, plenty of solar and or wind power involved to keep, you know, power. You know, you can't really do something that big without that kind of, you can't be off grid with grid power. You know what I mean?
True that, Kevin.
I mean, that's kind of cheating, right?
I think if we were going to title the episode, we would have a title right there. You can't be off-grid with grid power.
Well, if I remember that when I'm doing the write-off, I will use it as the title.
Yeah, I mean, and the idea that you're going to have that so defensible with like a 12-foot tall wall, which is a huge wall. I mean, you would not be allowed to have a wall that big in the, around your house in the city, I would say.
No, that would be illegal.
Other features would include a DNA vault, helipads, and airlock doors. So what, you can like be safe from like a bio attack, I guess? Some type of biological weapon would be the idea.
I would believe that would fall under those categories. Some type of gas attack, so that you have airlock doors, so that you can breathe in there for a while.
Or I guess if there was like a whole lot of nuclear fallout floating around outside, that would probably be good too.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple occasions that that it'd be good for.
You know, not apropos of nothing, I can see why people might be interested in a place like that these days, Kevin. You just never know anymore, it seems like.
Well, I guess that's kind of funny, you know, in that kind of a way. I would picture this in some ways as more of a Republican kind of a idea.
Yeah, at first it does.
Outside of the green power thing.
It seems like there's a, you know, Republican or Democrat, a certain type could get into this place.
It's kind of interesting because it does kind of mix things a little bit. You know, you can't really be self-sustaining without some type of, you know, eco-living involved.
Yeah, and also, everybody likes to live, I think, if given the choice.
Yeah, and I mean,
and some people are kind of more into the self-preservation than others, I suppose.
Yeah, so, and I would imagine that you'd be able to find enough people of enough walks of life to fit into this mold.
I mean, there's already people who are like, that they have TV shows on about, who are like
doomsday preppers
devoting their life to this kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that they'll be fine. I do wonder what the heck a DNA vault is though. Like I know, I understand everything else I think, but is that like for, do you put your DNA in so that like for why, what does that do you for you?
I don't know.
So
I mean,
some future generations can like clone you again? That's not even going to be you at that point, right? That's just going to be like a whole new you.
Yeah, it would be a new you. Like, I mean, because if you believe
a new person with your body, I guess. I don't know. However you want to look at it.
I would agree with that take. it's still, if you believe that the body has a soul and it leaves when it dies, just copying your DNA doesn't give you the soul, correct?
I mean, unless you think that the soul arises from the body somehow, in that case, then you could say that you could get to it that way. But, I think this was beyond the scope of the promotional material that
DNA
we were looking at.
Storage wells on a USB flash drive.
Store physical DNA and related personal or medical information together on one device. Okay, so it actually has DNA and a flash drive. I don't know if this is the kind of vault that they're talking about. It seems like, but it is like storing your DNA. That seems to be the uptake here. Targeted health. I don't understand this product at all. Oh, I guess for if identification for missing persons or something like that.
I guess it would be kind of interesting. Like, it's one of those, because it says study how DNA changes chemically over a lifetime. I guess that's one of those things that if you want to be an experiment, that is something that you could do pretty easily.
Right.
You know, if you wanted someone to study that, I guess you'd have to find the right person.
A genealogical reporting and ability to pass stored DNA to future generations. A digital scrapbook. Digital scrapbook? That's not a scrapbook. Here's my genetic material. It's a scrapbook. I'm going to put some sparkles on it, maybe, and some stickers. Is that what they're saying? Anyway, we've gone somewhat afield of our doomsday shelters here.
Well, you wanted to know what a DNA vault was. Oh, no. So.
I'm glad it was totally worth it and appropriate.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like you said, I think that this place would get plenty of people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. I don't know.
You know, and it does have its attractiveness, but I'm okay. Like, I don't think things are going to go to hell in a handbasket.
But in case you thought they might, I wonder how much these places would run though. I'm guessing it would not be that cheap.
They did say second home, and I'm thinking most of those places really aren't that expensive because they're kind of small.
An affluent second home, though? I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, I guess it does. Like, I was sitting there thinking, though, but it was second home. Like, I don't know, maybe we could still afford it. Like, it'd be kind of top of the line for us. But, you know, we could probably swing it, I guess.
Right.
So, it's like, you know, I guess I could get in there. Like, I'm not sure I'd, you know, well, yeah, I don't think I want to. Like, again, like, I don't.
And you're not a golfer, so that wouldn't be a draw.
It wouldn't be a slice either.
So, before someone gives us the hook here, Kevin, maybe that's also a golf term.
Really? While I'm drinking beer?
Sorry for that impeccable timing. You know, it's not just nuclear weapons, I guess, that people could be hiding out in these shelters from. They would also, I'm assuming, be good against things like vampire bats, Kevin.
The watchtowers could spot some blood-sucking vampire bats and have to shoot them down for you.
Yeah, and, or if nothing else, they may be prevented, you know, by the airlock doors from getting in there.
If they come out like the birds or something, it's just a giant flock of vampire bats. I don't know, what do they call a lot of vampire bats? It's not a flock, is it?
Swarm, maybe? I don't know. I've kind of heard that all those different terms for different groups of animals might be, some of them made up. I don't know if this one could be one of those or not, Kevin. A colony.
Oh, a colony or a camp.
Camp of bats. That one sounds made up.
Yes, so if a colony of bats descended upon the compound, the airlock doors would come in handy.
For sure, although that still would be creepy to sort of be staring out at these...
Vampire bats coming to suck your blood.
Thousands of vampire bats just plastered up against the glass, just trying to get in at you. You're trying to get some of that sweet blood. But
I was a little fascinated with this article in and of the fact that I guess I was not familiar with the fact that there are two basic types of vampire bats. Those that feed on mammal blood, and those that do not.
Birds as a non-mammal type of possibility?
Yeah, avian blood, because they have, and if that that was pretty neat too, is that mammals have different blood composition than that of birds.
Yes.
So that was not something that I guess I had thought about.
No, I can remember being afraid of vampire bats, even though I somehow knew that, you know, we did not live in an area where their vampire bats lived. I was still, when I would hear a bat or something, kind of get a little shiver, even though that bat's not going to try to get me. It's like just looking for little bugs and mosquitoes and whatnot.
Right.
It still was always in the back of my mind, I think, growing up, like the idea of vampire bats coming for your blood.
Oh, we always used to shoot clothespins at the bats, because in my friend's yard, he had a line to dry the clothes.
Oh, and so you would pull that back, and
we'd pull that down with pins, wooden pins, and shoot them up in the air.
And what was your success rate at actually hitting one of these bats?
I think out of all the times, there's two or three hits.
That seems improbable to me. Like, how can you even aim such a contraption?
Well, it was more from sheer luck than anything else, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, you guys were lucky.
Well, we'd shoot multiple pins.
Oh.
So that would help.
So it's like a shotgun effect, basically. Yeah.
There was a little bit of a shotgun effect.
That makes more sense to me then. I was thinking that you were doing one pin at a time.
Right, yeah, that was not the case. Or sometimes it was the case, but not always the case. So I'm not...
Good idea. You want to vary your tactics so the bats don't get wise to what's actually happening. Keep them off balance. That's good. That's step one when you're fighting the vampire bats.
Oh.
It's well-known facts.
And I did have an odd occasion where I'm pretty sure a bat hit my windshield.
Well, I think you might have made an enemy there. From your
clothespin days.
Yes.
Yeah, it was much later. Maybe one of the vampire bats remembered.
That's pretty much the plot of Jaws 2, I believe. So if it works for sharks,
why not for vampire bats, huh?
Yeah. Or even non-vampire bats, I guess, because I don't think there's any vampire bats that live in this area. Which is good, because...
That is for the best.
It is a scary thought to think that these bats are actually adapting to start feeding on people.
Well, I guess that was the interesting thing. Like, I didn't know that there were the two types of bats. And then B, yeah, that there's a specific set of them now that are adapting to drinking mammal blood.
And they're able to tell that by examining the blood, I think, of the some of the birds that they know that they've been feeding on, just to see that they have human DNA mixed in.
Oh, right.
So that's... I wondered about that, too. Like, how would they know, like, for sure that they're doing this? Would they, like... just set some bats in there with people and be like, hey, well, we're going to just stand outside now and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But no, that's good that they didn't do anything like that.
That would have been pretty crazy if they did something like that.
Probably probably just unethical.
Allowed people to be attacked.
Yeah, and it should be illegal if it's not, but definitely unethical, I would say.
I suppose maybe if you felt like signing for that, that would have to pay pretty well, though.
Oh, you think? To get
blood
sucked by a vampire bat? How much would they have to pay you, Kevin?
Well, they did say that there's the possibility.
Now, imagine you're a college student, though, when this question is being asked.
Well, that's a different number.
Because that's probably who they would get for this, I'm guessing.
But, yeah, they mentioned at the end of the article that some of the vampire bats do actually carry possibly, what is it, hantavirus, which can be fatal for humans.
So they can pass along that lovely disease.
I would imagine that is somewhat akin to rabies, but different, obviously.
Yeah, and then I guess there's probably still rabies to worry about, too.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
I mean, even in college, and even though I like to do crazy shit, like, I'm not sure that actually being bit by the animal was ever on my list.
No. I don't think I would go with, like, a mosquito. I'd be like, no thanks.
So, yeah, vampire bat would be a pretty hard sell for me. I've got it. To imagine, like, even in college.
Yeah, I would think so too, Kevin. And I would be curious if there's any listeners out there who would be...
I don't know. Do you go for, like, $50K?
Oh, $50,000 for the vampire bat?
I mean, that's a pretty substantial amount of money, in my opinion.
It is. And I'm wondering if the hantavirus, I mean, they may, well, virus though, I don't know. If there's like a, you know, vaccine or something you could take to kind of protect yourself against it.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. Go for some negotiations. You know, you'd have to get some antivirus before you like, went okay, into this.
Okay, we could give you $50,000 or we could give you the antivirus first, and then we'll give you $25,000.
Yeah, I'd go with the 25 up front with the virus control, maybe.
Okay, that's smart. I mean, it's pretty, you know, if you don't mind me saying, effed up for them to make that kind of offer. they yeah. should really just give you the vaccine. And not put you through that kind of even choice. I mean, it's kind of sadistic in a way. Like they're just messing with people.
Yeah, that would be a little wrong of them. But, yeah, I guess it's kind of interesting, but we still don't really have to worry about vampire bats unless we go to Brazil.
That's right. Well, until they learn to swim across the Panama Canal. And then all bets are off, my friend.
All bets are off, did you say?
Oh, Kevin. All bets are off. That would be a good t-shirt for us, I think. Or, yeah, I don't know. You've come up with a couple of good ones tonight.
I might need to go back through here. First Stunt Granny t-shirt, all bets are off.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, from flying rodents to a non-rodent that maybe is mistaken as a rodent.
Oh, do tell.
Mice.
Mice are rodents, though.
They are rodents, aren't they? Why did I think that there was a different family for mice?
Well, I gotta say, far as segues go, that was
a little rough.
That was not at the top of our list of best segues.
It should have been. I had a clear call there, and I don't know why at the last minute I thought to myself, no, they're not the same as rats, are they?
No, yes. They're not. They're all rodents, though. And I guess... Are bats are rodents?
I think so. I'm pretty sure that they're rodents. I'm 95% sure they're rodents.
Although, you know what? I think rodents describes their teeth that they have, like those chiseling teeth that always grow, that they have to, like, chew on stuff all the time.
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't know if mass qualify. So yeah, that's the kind of preparedness that we bring to the table again, even for our segues. But another rodent, I think, is what you meant to say, Kevin, who some people might have thought, it sounds like, that they were being turned into zombie killing machines by science.
Well,
but we've learned that that's not the case. But there's a reason people might have thought that, though.
That was kind of funny, because this is just from last week. And I've got to admit, I feel like I follow some stuff to get weird news like this. And I did not feel like I saw any of it. So the fact that the tone of the article is like, by now you've heard about these killer mice. I'm like, no, I haven't. This is the first time I've been reading about killer mice.
Well, it was the same for me too. So they were taking the, I guess, non-sensational news by not putting the ridiculous thing in the headline and actually having the come down to earth headline of saying, no, scientists didn't turn mice into killer zombies. Although it does still raise the specter that that's still a possibility at some point, I guess. That they could at some point decide to do that. But do you...
It's kind of interesting. I mean, the process that they were talking about in this article, though, is they basically understand what, protein is involved in a certain instinct for a mouse, and they just inject them with additional amounts of that protein.
And they're able to...
It basically overrides their circuits and makes them do that, whatever that task is.
Well, I think I was looking at some of it, and they were saying that they had figured out a way to inject something into their brains that would attach just to certain areas. It was kind of a virus that was photosensitive, I think they said.
Yeah.
And then they would be able to... the tricky part, I guess, is to... And this is probably the least zombie-like element, is to have these fiber optic cables running into the brain of the mice. So to have to go through this procedure, it's not exactly like getting bit by a zombie and turned into another zombie. So I think that's a fair point of the article here to say that they're not zombie killers, but they might be... killers, though, right, Kevin?
They certainly say that. It's one of those things that I do agree with the one part of the article that mentions that you're not used to thinking of mice as feral
or as hunters, really.
Yeah, or as hunters at all. Because I'm trying to think if there's even any of the children's book. Did Watership Down have? Those were rabbits.
Those were rabbits. And,
but did they hunt at all?
I think rabbits might actually be rodents, though.
Yeah, pretty sure they are.
Just to bring that back around. speaking of R.I.P., the author of Watership Down. He passed away last week, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, Richard Adams, that's right. That was a pretty good book. I don't know. Anyone out there looking for some kind of rabbit-related fiction novel? You could do a lot worse. And I don't know if you could really do much better. So, it was just an interesting story. But... onto a different type of rodent. I don't know if you can. So
back to the mice. Back to the killer mice.
So
here.
That's interesting. So could you use this same tactic to turn a rabbit into a killer? Would you say?
I would imagine They are, in this case, using the Cree enzyme. And, well, okay, but we were talking about how we don't...
So, I'm not sure.
Well, I guess Jerry is a violent mouse.
That's true. But still, I guess you don't think about him hunting.
Yeah, this is true.
But you can't think of him hunting. Being violent, for sure. Of course, Scratchy from The Simpsons was quite violent as well, I believe.
Yes, he was.
Or was that Itchy? Oh, damn it. No, I'm pretty sure it was Scratchy.
Oh, no. Not the biggest Simpsons fan, so...
Well, you're no help in this case then, Kevin.
Very little.
In any case, these mice already had this instinct to hunt insects, really, I think is what they're mostly going after.
Because they did show them eating a grasshopper within the article.
So you're not going to have to necessarily worry about, like, this is not going to have to be one of your reasons to get your survivalist compound home, because this is not the same thing as turning mice into, like, killing machines who are just going to, like, swarm after you or something.
Right, yeah.
It's more like making them more likely to attack the things that they would normally attack, such as insects or... other such things.
Yeah, something you always feed on something that's smaller than you.
That's so probably true. Yeah,
I would imagine if it's okay with grasshopper, it's anything within that size, whether it's ants.
Unless you're a human, then you go after cows sometimes or other such.
Oh, well, there are a lot of predators that go after things that are larger than them, I guess. Because I would have to say that, hyena work in packs to bring down large animals.
Or like wolves, like
wildebeests, or, yeah, wolves do something like that. Yeah, the pack animals tend to work on something larger so that they can feed the pack.
Well, I would argue that you could say that humans might be considered pack animals in that that case as well, working together.
Yeah.
To bring down those cows.
Yeah, there's a lot easier job bringing down those cows now that they're domesticated. Exactly. I would guess that whoever domesticated them maybe had some problems with cows back in the day.
Yeah.
But that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. There must have been something about cows that allowed them to be domesticated, though. They always said, like, in Africa, there was really no animals that could be domesticated. Like, or not many at all. Like, you think of zebras, but they're actually not domesticatable at all. They're like, very vicious.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
That's their reputation. So they've never, like, that's why you never see anyone riding a zebra.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that does make sense, since every other type of horse is ridden at some juncture. Yeah, you would think you'd see a zebra at some point, but that would tend to make sense.
Yeah, so it there's something about the cow that made them, maybe they didn't start out as... Well, obviously not as domesticated, because why would they be that way to start with? That would be completely ridiculous.
Yeah, you couldn't say you domesticated them if they didn't start out wild.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not even doing it. Yeah, that's just lucking on something. But, yeah, so sometimes I guess things are going after bigger things. But in this case, the mouse is not still going to go after... people.
Yeah, it's not going to go after people. It doesn't sound like they're trying to unleash, you know, these out in the wild either.
No, because you would have to inject this certain virus with this enzyme, and you have to inject a fiber optic cable. So there's just a little bit too much setup work to really make this. It's not going to scale well, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. The scale of this project is going to stay somewhat small.
Now, I could see using this for other, like we were talking about, I guess, last week, was it, with the hooking up people to change their kind of brain patterns with, like, having PTSD and things like that?
Yeah, to help calm their fears.
I could see this being used for something like that, potentially, down the road. Although it does seem like that is a lot to have, like, invasive brain surgery like that. Is a big ask. Although,
yeah,
you might be able to do something similar to the, I love how I'm figuring this all out just from our previous episodes here. I'm like making new breakthroughs in science, and I hope that there's actually a scientist listening who can make this happen. But we were talking about how they were able to, was this a topic on the show? How they had these...
Well, spit it out.
They were able to shine lights or have like a candle at a certain frequency that would cause people to... or would cause mice, at least, to have lessening Alzheimer indications in the brain. Like it would kind of like...
No, I do not remember that.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, yeah, because they found out that there was a certain frequency that if the brain was operating at this frequency, it was like cleaning out these, you know, brain plaques and things that develop with Alzheimer's. And I don't know if it was a mouse. It might have been a mouse. They put the LED right into the brain of the mouse. And were firing it at this frequency, and they studied them and saw that that brain plaque went down. Then they had the idea that to just shine that light, like, so that it would go into their eyes, and like that worked as well, because I guess your eyes, like, it just kind of like opens up into your you know, the light can go back into your brain through there.
Right.
So maybe eventually they'll just be able to shine that like into your eye and have it affect your brain, you know, in the brain control way. It could be like through your TV. Oh, now we're getting back into the creepy zombie world.
That's why. Well, but you could be affected out in this creepy out there if it's a video message that comes over the TV.
But Kevin, don't you think that our TVs are already turning us into zombies? if you really think about it.
Yep.
I don't know. You would also have to still be injected with this virus and enzyme. So it's still not... But I guess we could do train the vampire bats to do that part of the equation, maybe. See, this is all coming together.
It is coming together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, man.
And I pity the fool that doesn't.
Oh.
It's a late night, folks. What can I say? We're recording this a little bit later than usual.
Yeah. And one last not completely on the track story here, because we seem to have a bunch of these non sequitur stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was also the story about the meteor that they found that killed the dinosaurs. I don't know if you...
Oh, well, hey, if you want to talk about that one, it is pretty interesting. It's just off the Yucatan Peninsula.
And I don't think that you would necessarily be saved from this event if you lived in your survivalist compound.
I would
from the sound of it, you would not be safe just about anywhere.
Yeah, you would have to be the whole way around the other side of the world, I would have to say.
And even then, it's going to mess your day up.
I'm going to guess that that still would fuck your day up. If nothing else, I would imagine that there'd be a lot of cloud cover that should not have been there previously.
Yeah, it's a big deal. The dinosaurs were not happy about this event. This was the, of course,
yeah, the asteroids. The headline is Asteroid Strike Made Instant Himalayas, which it does make sense. They were talking about how and I'm assuming this is what it was. The meteor is coming in so hot that it turns the stone around it into liquid.
Yes, it would be like basically a huge explosion would be the fact, just because it had so much kinetic energy from such a huge object that when it hits the Earth, all that energy is released as heat. Yeah, it's so hot that it's like a...
it melts rock.
Yes.
That is craziness. But yeah,
that's wild.
That is wacky, wild stuff. And that is exactly what, it's exactly what happens, as their metaphor went, was, in a cup of coffee when you drop a sugar cube in.
Yes, except the sugar cube would be, or the cup of coffee would be the Earth. And that was splashing up in the air like a cup of coffee would if you dropped a sugar cube in there.
Yep. So, and then it all also fell back down somewhat quickly.
And this would have been, they said, this would have happened within minutes, that the Earth would have been pushed up to a height as high as the Himalaya Mountains and then come crashing back down into a crater. Like a splash of water.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, or I'm trying to find where it says the amount of time, because that was just completely insane. The short time period in which it happened. So their total path travel was 30 kilometers, and they did it in under 10 minutes, the rock itself. So, yeah, it was liquid for approximately 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would be a pretty wild thing to actually be present for.
Yeah, well, you like you said, halfway around the world, gonna fuck your day up. If you're there on ground zero, I'm going to guess things aren't going to go well.
No, I'm thinking not, yeah.
Even if you try to put, like, a camera there to see what happens.
It would basically be like a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, it'd melt the camera. Like, you'd need to record it from outer space.
Yeah, and this threw a lot of debris and whatnot up in the atmosphere, which is, as you said, led to... global cooling and a lot of plant die off, and they say caused the dinosaurs to die off as well. Although I have also heard they think that this could have in the immediate term after when it first happened, all of the dirt and debris kicked up could have come back down as the kind of secondary meteors in such great quantities that, like, they're, like, burning up in the atmosphere, like, heated the atmosphere to a huge degree that would have, like, killed off a lot of the animals and plants, too.
Oh.
Like, just during that event.
Right.
Which is kind of wild to think about. That it could have, like, you know, kind of baked everything. Except for they think, like, our animal ancestors, our mammal ancestors, like little mice and whatnot, could have been living underground and kind of avoided this
disastrous event.
Yes, and kind of survived after the cooling period. So I don't know. it's an interesting interesting idea.
Well, yeah, and I did think it was interesting. I guess they didn't mention it when we were down in Mexico, but I do remember that it was very popular to go to the cenotes, which it's part of the cenotes basically denote where the inland portion of the asteroid struck millions of years ago, which I thought was pretty interesting. Because, like I said, we were allowed to go to a couple of different cenotes. So I guess we were along that pathway in which, you know, the land had built back up enough since that time frame that, you know, there's a resort there.
Well, yeah, and that's good for us, I guess, but it didn't work out for the dinosaurs.
Yeah, fuck the dinosaurs' day up.
And I think it's still going to mess your day up even if you're in one of these compounds. Maybe if you're on the other side of the world, you'd be okay.
Yeah. Again, like, I remember them saying some, I always remember the weird historical things. And of course, I'm still not sure if they're true, or maybe I should go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one San Francisco earthquake being so heavy, the bell rang in Boston or something like that.
Oh, I think I do remember hearing something about that. Yeah, it was such a huge quake that it traveled that far. I don't know.
Right.
It seems possible if... because I know that that was a big earthquake. But although at the time, the buildings were not built up to the same codes either, so that didn't help at all. Just doing some last minute research here.
Oh, well, I didn't come up with anything. So I'll just launch into the Bell Time Beer of the Week.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Well, one for me was the Stunt Granny German Suplex Hefeweizen. Still have that in the fridge. Needed to get rid of more of it. Then there was also the Greg Koch doing the Arrogant Bastard Bourbon Barrel Age from Arrogant Bastard Brewing. So, yeah, he's gone out from Stone Brewing and started his own thing under basically a label that Stone helped create.
Yeah, it's the same thing I'm having here as well, right?
Yes.
I gotta say, it's pretty good. Sometimes the bourbon barrel can be a little too strong for me sometimes.
Right.
But this is blending pretty well, I think.
Yeah, he did a great job with the, you know, the right amount of aging. And I suppose I'm not too surprised. The guy makes a lot. He made a lot of good beer for Stone, and he's stepped back behind the brewmaster's cap on, and is doing well again. He was actually at Columbus Winter Beer Fest tonight. If you had a chance to go, but I am going tomorrow night. So, lots of Bell Time beers. Those should be on the Instagram tomorrow. So, yeah, and maybe I'll just Facebook Live.
Oh, my gosh. Now you're just asking for trouble. This is like waving a metal rod outside in a lightning storm.
Continuing to play golf.
Yes.
In a lightning storm.
That's right. And throwing your putter in the air. That's that's basically what you're proposing right now. No, it could be possible. You know, it can't all be bad, right?
Right.
You just hear about the bad stuff.
Yep.
You don't hear about all the good things that happen when people Facebook Live.
Well, I was going to say, you hear about all the good stuff right here on Stunt Granny Presents OPA. And this one happens to be episode 81. I'm DeFranco 11. That is Ghost 33. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Everybody, have a good night.
See ya.